From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me Putri to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starter from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, we will play Indonesian songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 and through www.vinews.id.
Here is the news first headline. The construction of the infectious disease observation and quarantine facility at the former Vietnamese refugee camp of Galang Island, Batam City, Riau Island, is now 60% complete. Singapore reported its first two COVID-19 deaths with an Indonesian national and a Singaporean. Now news in detail. The construction of infectious disease observation and quarantine facility at the former Vietnamese refugee camp of Galang Island, Batam City, Riau Island, is now 60% complete, said an official. Construction material for the quarantine center arrived in Batam, Arbet Reynaldo, head of the Riau Settlement Infrastructure Office, said on Saturday. He said he was optimistic of the facility becoming operational on March 28, in keeping with the government target. The revamping of regional facilities, including wastewater management and incineration, is expected to be complete by the end of March. Facilities for the clean water and electricity generation have also been prepared. The construction process was smooth because there was no objection from local residents. The Riau Island people are already aware of the importance of this observation facility, he notes. Singapore reported its first two COVID-19 deaths with Indonesian national and a Singaporean. A 64-year-old Indonesian citizen who was infected with COVID-19 and was being treated in Singapore died on March 21st. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities Abroad, Judah Nugraha, said via text message on Saturday. The Singapore Ministry of Health wrote on its official website that two patients died from complications caused by COVID-19 on March 21st morning. The Indonesian national and 75-year-old Singaporean woman who had been admitted to the National Center for Infectious Disease, NCID, on February 23rd for pneumonia and was confirmed to have a COVID-19 infection the same day. The Ministry of Health and the NCID have reached out the family of the two patients and provide assistance to them. In the meantime, the number of positive cases of COVID-19 in Indonesia has increased by 81, bringing the total to 450, said Ahmad Yuryanto, government spokesperson for COVID-19 response on Saturday. The death toll has increased by 6 to touch 38, he added. The Malaysian authorities in Sabah have delayed the deportation of several undocumented Indonesian migrant workers through the Nunukan port in North Kalimantan province, according to a local government official. The latest news we have received, the deportation has been delayed, Deputy Head of the Steering Committee of the North Kalimantan COVID-19 Task Force Team, Datu Ramadan, said on Saturday. The delayed deportation might be related to the lockdown that the Malaysian government implemented recently in a bid to contain the spread of the new coronavirus disease in the country. The Association for Election and Democracy, Perludem, has urged the government to postpone some of the procedural formalities in the regional head election or Pilkada in wake of the coronavirus pandemic. The NGO has asked the certain poll process, such as inauguration for the voting committee, PPS, verification of prospective candidates, matching of voter data, and research to be postponed as part of the COVID-19 countermeasures. Perludem Executive Director Titi Anggraini stated here on Saturday, the KPU needs to make a change because COVID-19 has become a global pandemic and trigger a national emergency situation. Italy recorded a jump in death from coronavirus of almost 800 on Saturday, taking the toll in the world's hardest hit country to almost 5,000. Its latest desperate effort to halt the epidemic, Rome ordered that all businesses must close until April 3rd, with the exception of those essential to maintaining the country's supply chain. In the most difficult crisis in our post-war period, Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte said in a video post on Facebook, adding only production activities deemed vital for national production will be allowed. Mr. Conte did not specify which factories and businesses will be considered crucial to keep the country going. The government is expected to publish an emergency decree on Sunday to make the new crackdown immediately effective. Supermarket, pharmacies, postal and banking services will remain open and essential public services, including transport, will be ensured. USA Track and Field, the governing body of American Athletics, on Saturday called for a postponement of the Tokyo Olympics. The Federation, in a letter to United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee Chief Executive Sarah Hisland, asked the International Olympic Committee to postpone the Games, which are scheduled to run from July 24 to August 9. The U.S. Track and Field Federation joined another leading U.S. Olympic sport, USA Swimming, in seeking a delay to the Games. The Jack Ma Foundation and Alibaba Foundation announced plans to donate much-needed medical supplies to 10 more countries in Asia to help the global fight against COVID-19. The government of Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Cambodia, Laos, Maldives, Mongolia, Myanmar, Nepal, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka will receive from the two foundations a donation totaling 1.8 million masks, 210,000 COVID-19 test kits, and 36,000 pieces of protective clothing, as well as essential medical equipment and supplies that include ventilators and forehead thermometers. Earlier this week, the two foundations announced donation of medical supplies to Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, and the Philippines. That's the news read out by Antin Supriyati.
This week's spotlights is on President encourages more efficient logistic ecosystems. Indonesian President Joko Widodo believes the national logistic ecosystem can be more efficient if there is a clear and measurable program roadmap. The President said this in his introduction at the limited meeting on the arrangement of the national logistic ecosystem at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday. He said a clear and measured map of the program would also encourage open, transparent, and competitive logistical costs, as well as logistic services that were cheaper and faster. The President reminded, based on data, Indonesia's Logistic Performance Index in 2018 was ranked 46, or still far below Singapore, which is in the 7th place. Other ASEAN countries like Thailand ranked 32nd, Vietnam 39th, and Malaysia 41st. President Joko Widodo said that those countries' logistic cost is under 20%, even 15%, while in Indonesia is still 24% of the GDP or 24% of GDP. Therefore, the president stressed that Indonesia's national logistic ecosystem must be improved, organized, and Indonesia must start building an integrated logistics system from upstream to downstream. The president wants the collaboration system to become a single logistic platform. Meanwhile, the Director General of Customs and Excise of the Ministry of Finance is designing an integrated program from upstream to downstream to reduce logistic costs, which are expected to fall by 5%. Heru Pambudi hopes that the whole process from upstream, starting from the arrival of ships, unloading, piling up goods at the port, and inspection through customs and quarantine, are carried out in an integrated manner. Likewise, for transportation both by land and railroad until arriving at the warehouse or the related industry. If the integrated program has been established, it will be linked to the facilities of the independent bonded zone so that efficiency is more optimum. That way, Heru hopes that investment in Indonesia can be increased while boosting export performance. That was Spotlight of the Week over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history, I'll begin with March 22, 1945. The Arab League is formed in Cairo. The Arab League was formed by six countries, namely Egypt, Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, and Syria on March 22, 1945. Yemen joined as a member on May 5, 1945. Currently, the League has 22 members, but Syrian participation has been stopped since November 2011 as a consequence of the government oppression during the Syrian civil war. The aim of the Arab League in 1945 was to strengthen and coordinate the political, cultural, economic, and social programs of its members and to mediate disputes between them and third parties. Turning to March 22, 1946, Jordan becomes independent. On March 22, 1946, Jordan won its independence. At the beginning of the Muslim conquest, Jordan became part of the Muslim Caliphate. In the mid-16th century, Jordan was ruled by the Ottoman Empire. Following World War I and the collapse of the Ottoman Empire, Britain took control of Jordan, Iraq, and Palestine. On March 22, 1946, Britain signed a treaty on the independence of Jordan to become an independent kingdom. I will end today in history with March 22 World Water Day. World Water Day is observed in effort to attract public attention to the importance of clean water and awareness for the sustainable management of clean water sources. World Water Day is celebrated every March 22. This initiative was announced at the 47th UN General Assembly on December 22, 1992, in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Every year, the World Water Day has a special theme. That was Today in History.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are. We have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Malik Shoaib in Pakistan. He was listening to our English service through website www.voinews.id. Hello, Mr. Malik Shoaib. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. We are really sorry because we cannot fulfill your requests. As appreciation, we'll play a beautiful song. Here is the song.
Pintu hati yang kau tutup, bolehkah ku buka? Sekedar melangkah masuk dan coba menyapa. Usah lagi kau simpan kecewa karena dia. Beri dirimu kesempatan untuk menyamai cinta.
My Indonesia for today is on Indonesian All England badminton team in quarantine. The Indonesian badminton team in All England returned from Birmingham, England with a mixed double title won by Pravin Jordan and Melati Daiva Oktavianti, who in the final defeated Dechapol Puavara Nugroho and Sapsire Thairattanachai from Thailand at the Birmingham Arena, England last Sunday. But upon arrival, the badminton team had to enter the quarantine for 14 days to ensure there is no coronavirus before returning to their respective homes. Secretary General of the Indonesian Badminton Association, Ahmad Budiharto, told Antara on Monday that the quarantine process would be carried out at the training center in Cipayung, East Jakarta. According to him, this must be done to all athletes and officials because it is a protocol from the central government as one of the steps to prevent the transmission of the coronavirus. The government has instructed all Indonesian citizens who come from abroad to be quarantined for 14 days. Budiharto explained that during quarantine, the players continue to train with special programs. The training schedule and portion were to be discussed by the training team. The Indonesian badminton team, who returned from the All England 2020 Championship, was divided into two groups. The first group had arrived in Indonesia on Sunday and went straight to the Cipayung Training Center for the quarantine process, while the second group arrived in Indonesia on Tuesday, including the players who competed in the final, namely the mixed doubles Pravin Jordan Melati Daiva Oktavianti and men's doubles Kevin Sanjaya Sukamulyo and Marcus Fernaldi Gideon. To anticipate COVID-19 risks, a new policy has been implemented prohibiting all athletes from leaving the Cipayung National Training Arena, except for urgent needs that have received permission from trainers and doctors. In addition, the national training will also close access for all guests in the next 2 weeks period. Even though within the next month all badminton tournaments have been officially cancelled, the players will continue their normal training process. Specifically for the All England team who are undergoing isolation, the training process will use a separate field and facility. And listener, that was My Indonesia for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our listener Howard Barnett in England. In his email, Mr. Barnett asked what is the difference between VOI at voinews.id and English at voinews.id. Hello, Mr. Howard Barnett. How are you today? We hope you are listening to our broadcast now. As information, VOI at voinews.id is our official web address. So please send your email just to VOI at voinews.id, not another web address. Thank you. Special for you, we will play another beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Tak bisa dengarkanlah kata isi hatiku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, featuring Indonesian tourism, especially tourist destinations. Today, I will take you in a tour to Kuningan, West Java, to visit and enjoy Curug Putri Waterfall, which is approximately 9 kilometers from Kuningan town. Kuningan is one of the districts in West Java. Although it only has an area of 1,200 kilometers, Kuningan district has many interesting tourist destinations, one of which is Curug Putri Waterfall, located in Cerme Mountain National Park, precisely in the village of Cisantana Cigugur in the same area with Palutungan Camping Ground. Curug in local dialects means waterfall, while Putri means princess. So, Curug Putri means princess waterfall. It is not too high, only about 12 meters. There are stone steps and hiking trails that make it easy for visitors to enjoy this fresh and cool waterfall. This Curug Putri waterfall is open from 7 a.m. in the morning until 5 p.m. with an entrance ticket of 5,000 rupiahs, which is less than half US dollars. From the entrance of Palutungan Camping Ground, visitors still have to walk about 1 or 2 kilometers. The trees that shade the cobblestone streets have hypnotic, magical power. The air is fresh and clean, makes you not too tired to walk to this waterfall. Along the road, there are also public facilities such as toilet, musola, gazebo to rest, and also places for photo taking. There is a staircase that ends in a pool of water that can be used for bathing by visitors. Although the speed of the water discharge is quite swift, there is a large water reservoir that makes the area feel calm. Visitors can throw themselves into the clear water pool to swim. Like most waterfalls, the contours of the pond-forming land also consist of steps from the deepest part, which reaches the waist of an adult, to the shallow part where children are safe to play. Try to sit facing the Curug Putri waterfall and listen to the sound of birdsong, the wind and water splashing, then the peace of nature will infiltrate the heart. Curug Putri or Princess Waterfall is called so because if you look from a distance, this waterfall is shaped like, they said, a princess standing in a white dress. After the rain, at the tip of the tree usually stretches the rainbow. With the combination of natural charms of the mountains and clear waterfalls supported by the cool mountain air, many people are attracted to come to Curug Putri. Some areas here are flat land, so they can be used as campsites. There is also a place for outbound here, so you can come to this attraction with your group or family. Lines of pine trees typical of the mountains that shelter the area make this place shady and also romantic. That was Indonesian Wonder today. We'll meet again tomorrow in the same segment with other interesting topic. This is the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Now we'll reply an email from our listener Hisataka Fukuda in Japan. He was listening to our podcast in Japanese language through 4750 kHz. Hello, Mr. Hisataka Fukuda. Thank you for your reception report on our broadcast. Our technical division told that frequency 3325 kHz, which is emitted from Palangkaraya, is specially for Central and South Asian regions. In addition to broadcasting through 3325 kHz, Voice of Indonesia also broadcasts through streaming voinews.id. You can also find out some information from this website. Listener Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we will play another beautiful song for you. Here is the song and happy listening.
Bagaimana mestinya membuatmu jatuh hati kepadaku. Aku tuliskan sejuta puisi meyakinkanmu cintaku. Haruskah ku mati karenamu, terkubur dalam kesedihan sepanjang waktu. Haruskah ku relakan hidupku hanya demi cinta yang mungkin I'm not.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's miscellany is about Brawijaya University student develops car rental security application. Students of Brawijaya University in Malang, East Java, developed a car rental security application called Car Rental Security Technology or CRASearch. With this application, those students achieved silver medal in Bangkok International Intellectual Property Invention, Innovation and Technology Exposition or IPTEX 2020 in Bangkok, Thailand on February 2 to 5, 2020. The CRASearch team consisted of Lailatul Fajriati Farah Hasiba and Fairuz Aziza Herlambang from Industrial Engineering major, dan Wahono Ridoning Gusti, Riko Saputra Lin Hatama and Maulana Derifato Ahmad from IT Vocation. The team was coached by Ihwan Hamdala, lecturer in Industrial Engineering. CRASearch team head Lailatul Fajriati Hasiba in Malang said, CRASearch is integrating GPS and IoT-based ultrasonic sensor. It monitors location and condition of rental car. Also, this application can detect any collision during rental period and warn the user if the rental period has ended. If there is no response from the customer or the car is not returned in 24 hours after the period ended, the system will send car location data to rental owner and then automatically forward it to closest police office. CRASearch system will then stop electric current in car machine when it is parked, so car will not be able to be returned again. When the car is stopped, the police will be easier to find and secure the rental car that is allegedly stolen. Lailatul added this application is still being developed. It is expected such security system integration will increase the trust of car leasing towards the rental owner, so as well as help monitoring rental cars. The team is still developing a website for multi-user, so it is not only one user of the car rental owner who can access the application, but consumers can also use the application to find closest rental car. And listener, that was miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 and also streaming voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today I present you a song by Bricia Jodi. Stay tuned. Bricia Jodi has been popular since she joined a talent show organized by one of the Indonesian private TV shows. After participating in the show, she began her solo career. Her songs, both solo and duet, received positive feedback from Indonesian music enthusiasts. In December 2019, Bricia Jodi released a song entitled Menunggu Jadi Pacarmu, or Menjamu, or in English, the title means Waiting to Be Your Girlfriend. The song Menjamu tells about someone who cannot express her feeling to the person that she loves. Listener, here is Bricia Jodi with her song entitled Menunggu Jadi Pacarmu.
Jantungku berdebar hebat, tak sengaja melihatmu, ku ingin menyapa kamu, tapi malu rasanya.
Voice of Indonesia.
kau buat sirna, sudahlah harapanku hidup bersamamu. Ada satu hal yang tak bisa dihindarkan, walau hati tak rela untuk menangis. Semua takkan ada yang kekal. Kau buat sirna, sudahlah harapanku hidup bersamamu. Dulu dirimu, diriku di taman.
Voice of Indonesia.
See you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions and also 4750 for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at VINews.id. I'm Putri Safir Adela. See you on the next English program.